So the question is this: how are photographers like you, who are tired of giving away all of their hard work at rock bottom prices, who long to stand out in markets that are getting more and more crowded by the day, and who want to run businesses that serve them, their clients, and their families, how can those photographers pull all this off without sacrificing their family time, their client base, and their integrity? Well, if that's the question, then this podcast has the answers. My name is Chris Scott, and this is the Printmaker Podcast.
So as a new photographer listening to the podcast, I was thinking, I would think and have lots of questions, how would I even begin, especially if I had a lot of clients? Remembering back to my story, I was also thinking the same thing. And remember, because I didn't purchase the course. I don't know if it was a course back then. A hole for me in that was like, okay, well, I'm already a photographer. So how do I move on? That transition stage was really vital for me. And I think I totally bombed it because I didn't listen. And I didn't do what Chris said. I didn't know what Chris said. In the podcasts that I listen to, which haven't been very many, so I'm sorry, but I feel like for me, I was thinking like, oh, if I was a photographer listening to this, I would be like, well, that's all great for Kelly, and I can see how she can get there, but I don't know
how to get from where I am to where she is. Yeah.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk specifically about that transition, because I think you're right. I think that we've talked a bunch about what does the process look like and, you know, how should you be doing this process? But I don't know that we've really spelled it out specifically as to like, if you are here as a shoot and burn photographer right now, then here's how you get to point B, basically. So let's do that. First, introduce yourself.
My name is Caitlin Roten, and I am a family and school photographer. I just moved to Merritt Island, Florida, which is along the Space Coast, the East Coast of Florida. And I've been a photographer for a very long time, like, I don't know, ancient, like 15 years or something like ridiculous. That makes me sound really old. But I've only been doing in-person sales for my family photography business for about 4 years.
Yeah, so I was saying 3 or 4, right?
Yeah. Previously, I was just a shoot and burn photographer. Yeah, all over the country. And yeah.
And yeah, so if you have watched basically any webinar that I've ever done or looked at basically any page on our website, you've probably seen Caitlin's face. I've jokingly said that if we had a mascot, she would be it. Because you've now kind of said two different things to me that really stood out. You know, originally it was like, hey, three things. Originally it was, hey, I was struggling to be able to fix my camera. And then I signed up for your stuff and I went through the course. And now I make 3 times in 2 months that I made the entire previous year. So I was like, yes, I will be using that in all of the places. Yes. And then you were like, oh, but hold on, rewind. Because I didn't actually sign up for all of your stuff. At first, I signed up for the tool and because I'm smart and I can figure this out myself. And then you were like, yeah, I couldn't figure it out. So then I finally signed up for the course and that's when things took off. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to use that too. Thanks. And then more recently, we talked, maybe it's been a year now, but you were saying like, oh yeah, now I make 10 times as much as I did shooting and burning in a third of the amount of time. And I'm like,
right.
Number one, that's crazy. And number two, I'm going to now start using that in all the places. So you've probably seen Kate's smiling face somewhere if you've interacted with our brand for any amount of time. So it's a little bit weird. In fact, before we started recording, I said something to Kate about like, how have you not been on the podcast yet? Like, you're the mascot. You should have been on the podcast already. So anyway, so Kate called me out and said that the podcast has been interesting, but I haven't done enough to explain how you get from shoot and burn to kind of this print sales process, that we've done a lot on the podcast to talk about what this process looks like, but there hasn't really been a real clear path from being a shoot and burn photographer to using this process. So I voluntold her that she's now going to talk about that completely unprepared. So that's what we're going to talk about on this episode of the podcast, is how to get from where you may be right now, shooting and burning, to where, hopefully, to where Caitlin is right now, where she's sitting in a swanky new house with her cow chair and, you know, telling me what's up. Chris, you're not doing this. Fix it. Let's start then with, what did life look like for you as a shoot and burn photographer? That way, if somebody is listening right now, they can say, yeah, no, that's me right now.
Right. So I was working so much, and I have two kids, and I always felt like I was passing my kids off to my husband. It was like that in and out of the door thing. He would come home from work and I would say, okay, see ya, I'll be back. And I would, you know, leave and go on a shoot, and I would not make that much money. it was so many clients, which, you know, you think, oh, wow, so many families are wanting you to take their family photos, but I wasn't really making that much return off of the time that I was spending on them. And I think about this so often, when I would hear someone say something like, oh, we need family photos done, or do you know of a family photographer? It would almost be this cat reaction, like, yes, pick me, like you have to pick me. Like, in order for our family to eat, you have to choose me to be your family photographer. That obviously has changed, but I think it's just this natural reaction to get all of the people to be your clients. And honestly, if you just sit down and think about that, that's not a realistic expectation for all of the thousands and thousands of people that you have living in your city or town to have them be your photo clients. But that was just a natural reaction. Like, I have to get everybody. I have to photograph everybody and get so much basis because, you know, it costs so little for them and I'm making so little. I'm not even seeing those people that are important in my life, my family, because I'm photographing all these other families.
Kate Brent said something the other day that I really liked. She said, I wasn't an expert. I was just a tool. And she really linked a lot of it back to loyalty, was this idea that, like, nobody's going to be loyal to you when the only reason they chose you was your price, because all they have to do is find somebody with a lower price. And now they're going to be loyal, quote unquote, loyal to that person. And I just think that that's such an interesting way to look at it, you know, kind of outside of the idea of I had to constantly find new clients because I just wasn't making enough money per client. But really, you have to constantly find new clients because those clients aren't coming back, because by the time they're ready for another session, there's a new batch of shoot and burn photographers who are already charging less than you do.
And I do find that was true, but I also found that people were repeat clients. And so every year, twice a year, sometimes I would photograph them. And now that I'm doing in-person sales, I don't really get a lot of repeat clients because honestly, it is such an investment. And family photos to me have transitioned into this like very special thing that maybe you can't afford them every year. That's really okay. Yeah. Do you afford a new couch every year for your home? Like, no, that's ridiculous. And so I've transitioned into educating people like, it's really okay if you don't get family photos every year. You have 18,000 photos on your phone. It's okay to skip a year.
It's going to be all right. I'll see you when you look slightly different.
Right. Yes.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. So that's kind of where you were then as a shoot and burn photographer. Kind of walk us through what that transition then looked like. How did you know that you needed to make a change? I guess that's really the big question, is what was that catalyst, that circumstance that made you feel like, okay, this is no longer sustainable? Because you did it for a number of years, right? Like you were like,
I did.
Like 9 years or something, right?
Right. I mean, I moved around a lot and we moved overseas. So there was that break where I wasn't actually photographing. Right. When we moved back to America, I got started again. And it really was just the realization of how long I was spending with people that weren't my family. And was it really worth it to be making this little amount of money for the long time that I wasn't going to be seeing them? So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to drop weddings because that's an obvious thing. Like, I want to be home on the weekends with my whole family and do family types of things. But then once I dropped weddings, I saw, you know, like, oh, well, then I'm not really making that much money on families. Yeah. So I went to this photography meetup where we were doing headshots. And I think this was the time that I actually didn't bring my camera because my camera was broken. And I was talking to one of the girls there, and we were talking about pricing and files and just how to give clients their files. And she says, "Oh, no, I don't give clients my files." Like in a very like professional way, like, "No, they pay for those. What are you talking about?" So I got her number and we went out to eat. I was like, "Tell me your ways. What are you doing?" And so she told me about Swift Galleries, and she was telling me that, you know, I don't exactly remember her numbers, but that her clients spend, let's just say, $500 or more. And at that time, thinking of getting $500 for anybody for a family photo session was like, "Oh my gosh, I am in. I want to drink the Kool-Aid." So I got a ton of information from her. And so that night I went home and I signed up for Swift Galleries. And, you know, it really did make sense to me coming from an arts major background and thinking about like, well, why have I just been giving files to people? That doesn't really make any sense. And thinking about like, I can make this artistic and make this fit their home and make really awesome products for these people. And so, you know, I was definitely on board for that. But I think this was the point where I just bought just the Swift Galleries. Or no, maybe I did like a free trial or something like that. I don't remember. So at that point I had clients, and I think it was maybe October. So, you know, October, family photos, really, really busy. And so I contacted my clients that I had just photographed and I said, "Hey, I'm starting a new thing. I want to come to your house and show you your photos on your wall." And they were like, "Oh, okay, cool." So I went to their house, and I remember it was like two or three families. I showed up with my 12-inch MacBook Air that wasn't even mine, that I was borrowing from my husband. I think this MacBook Air was like 15 years old. It is so old. Yes. And so I showed them their photos, and of course they're like, "Oh, yay, yay, yay." And then in Swift Galleries, I'm showing them their photos mocked up on, you know, some random person's wall. And they're always like, "Oh, is that your home?" Which I think is always the funniest question.
You're like, "Yes, it is. Yeah."
You know, then the question starts like, "Oh, well, how much does this cost?" And I distinctly remember this one family. They had photo galleries all over their house, and it was like printed on wood, and they were really interested. And so I told them, "Oh, well, this wall gallery costs, you know, $1,282. And they were like, "Why would I ever buy that?" That was their response. I'm like, "Okay, I'll see you later."
Oh, sorry, my decimal was in the wrong spot. So $182. My bad.
Right. Yeah, that was really humbling. I was like, "Okay, well, here's your USB with your photos anyways." So very quickly I realized like, okay, well, this is not gonna work.
This is full of it. This guy has no idea what he's talking about.
Well, it was just so hard in that transition phase. I just had photographed these people and I hadn't put anything on social media or my website about, you know, the change. And so it was just like calling them up and saying, "Oh, hey, I've, you know, come up with this new cool thing." So I quickly realized that that wasn't going to work. And so then I think this is where there was like a special and I bought Swift Galleries, the printmaker system or whatever it was called. And so then I watched all the videos ferociously and I listened and I was like, "Oh, that's what I'm supposed to do." And so I transitioned my website and my social media to really talking about and showing instead of just the file on someone's wall or the file on a frame on a desk or something, and transitioning me to whenever people see my work, that they see it in a physical form, even if it's on the website where you're not actually like holding something,
yep,
but you're seeing a frame or it on someone's wall. So I think that was really a big transition where I learned in the printmaker system, like, you have to change people's ideas of what you're all about, and also thinking of why I'm doing this. And, you know, there is that why, like, I want to make more money. Obviously, you don't tell people that.
But you just did. Like, right. This is going to be on the podcast.
Right. Well, hopefully my clients won't be listening. But right. Obviously, there's more than just that reason. You know, it's not just to make more money. It's so that I can make more money and spend more time with my family, which I feel like everybody can relate to. And it's not like I'm giving the files away and making more money. It's they're actually buying these heirloom pieces for their house. So it's not like I'm just ripping them off. So I created this why of, I find it hard to be a mom. Like, I don't feel like I was born to be a mother. And so I struggle with this so much every day. And I really feel like seeing photos on the wall of my home helped me love and appreciate my kids more in my life on a daily basis. And I kind of feel like a broken record when I say that over and over again, but obviously people don't know that I say that, like, or read that. I mean, people aren't there like looking at every post of my Instagram and my Facebook being like, oh, she said that yesterday. Like, what's wrong with her?
I think that's really validating though for the other moms out there who feel exactly the same way, especially since we're inundated with the super moms, the Pinterest moms, the Instagram moms who are like taking a bath with my baby again, you know, and like, no, that's my one time to be alone. Like, no, yes. I lock the door when I go in the bathroom.
Yes.
You know, and I'm certainly not taking pictures in there. No. You know, that's another story altogether. But anyway, the whole point though is that you kind of get to be that voice of reality of like, hey, sometimes it's okay to not feel like, man, I'm killing this mom thing. And I think that that's something that's really special and unique about you and your brand. And that's what allows you to be genuine when you post all of these things. And I think it just creates a very compelling, like you said, why in your business, where you're saying like, look, I need these things. And I know that there are people out there just like me who need these as well. You know, that becomes about so much more than just, like you said, just making money. It becomes about something so much deeper for people. And you really are now solving a problem rather than just giving them things they don't need. No, they do actually need this thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I love that. Okay, so you went through the course and you started kind of implementing these other things and showing a lot more. So, I mean, this is like what you just said, this idea of like, they're not watching everything. If somebody is listening to these podcast episodes back to back, they're going to start seeing this recurring theme. And I'm glad, because this is the important theme that you need to see. You started to set expectations before they ever even contacted you. They knew what you were about before they engaged in any sort of business relationship with you. Mm-hmm. So you started adding those things in. Did things go better then from that point forward? Did you still have those moments of like, yeah, we're not going to do that. You're insane.
Well, there were still people contacting me as referrals from other people who were a part of the shoot and burn business. And, you know, I always made sure that I said like, oh, well, how did you hear about me? And that kind of would clue me into their expectations. But still, all over my website, all over social media is this awareness that, you know, there is this physical thing that you are going to purchase. You know, it's very clear. And after I went through the printmaker system and started doing the initial consults with people, the initial consults with people really served to kind of just make sure that expectations were set. And if they were a referral from a previous client, you know, I just made sure that, you know, that they understood that digital files are not included. I did not word it like that. I always worded it in the positive, like, all right, so we're having our initial consultation. Not that I really said that, but I always opened it up like, well, where do you think that you want your photo products to go in your home? Yep. And so that opened it up to a conversation. Like, if they answered the question like, oh, well, I don't know.
Wait, what? Yeah.
Yeah. Then that kind of clued me into that I need to take a different road in the conversation versus like, oh, well, I was really hoping that you would provide some guidance on that. Like, oh yes, you're my person that I need to talk to. And so that conversation, that initial consultation really steered the whole photo experience to, you know, what were they really thinking that they were going to get out of this? And if they were a past client, you know, they were just a repeat client that said like, oh, hey, we need our pictures again for this year. I would just, you know, say like, oh, well, I just wanted to know, I've made some really exciting changes to my business. and let me tell you about that. And, you know, I wouldn't probably do that in that cheesy of a voice, but just go through my why. Like, you know, I have met with some of my previous clients and they told me that they've never printed out any of their photos that we did together, although they've loved them and they've been really meaningful. And that has just really changed the course in my business to helping people get photos off their computer onto the walls of their homes. Yeah. So just having those set phrases so that you know kind of what to say and that you're not left there being like, oh, I don't do that anymore. So that you have something to say to them in the positive.
Yeah.
Making it positive sounding.
And to kind of piggyback on that, what we really suggest that you do, and I think it's a really good way to kind of bring this topic up, but then don't make your clients feel bad about it. So rather than, you know, just, and I'm guessing you actually probably do this, but rather than just saying like, hey, I found out most of my clients weren't doing anything with these photos that I'm creating for them, that kind of puts them in this like almost defensive spot. Like, well, yeah, I haven't, but you know, whatever. Immediately following that up with, and that's not your fault, that's mine. Like, right. I realized that I wasn't doing my job, because it's not your job as the client. You're a teacher or a doctor, yes, or a lawyer or a firefighter, or I was going to go through the village people. You're an Indian chief or a, you know, you know, you're a whatever you are. It's not your job. It is my job as the photographer to make sure that you actually have something to show for our time together. So yes, to be able to step into that gap immediately after you kind of create that moment of tension, you know, that like, hey, what I found was that most of our clients weren't doing anything with these files because life got in the way. And that's not your fault. That's completely on me. And
right,
that's why I've made this change, because this is important. So I think that, you know, that's a really good way to kind of approach that conversation. Now, I'm glad that you kind of brought this around to past clients and kind of like returning clients, because that is one that we hear the number one thing. It's like, I'm afraid that if I switch, then none of my clients will come with me. What was your experience with that?
Well, that was one of the top questions that I asked Kaylin, the other photographer from Swift Galleries, when I met her and had drinks with her. I said, I'm going to lose all of my people. And she said, yes, you are. It made me so scared.
Yeah.
But she said, like, those people are not your people. They don't want what you're going to be offering. And this is really going to transform your business. And now being on this side of it, that is totally, totally true. I don't really get repeat clients all that much. And honestly, how many of us can really spend $2,000+ on family photos and products every year? And I specialize in wall galleries. So that's saying like, who has the wall space for that too? But what I do get is I get great reviews and I get referrals. So that has really propelled my business. But also, what's been really interesting has been the upper class or even the upper middle class families. I feel like they expect this. I feel like there's a change right now in America. I don't know if you've been, if that's like the word for it, but The upper class people, that the families that I've photographed, they don't even ask about digital files. They just know that they have chosen a photographer that will do it all for them, and they don't care. They don't want to do all those things, and they don't want to hire someone who's going to give them a USB. Okay, maybe they do want to hire someone that's going to do everything for them. And then at the end, maybe they do want their digital files, but is that okay? If I feel like I am making enough money from the time that I'm spending with them, that is really okay with them. I am not anti-digital file.
Yes.
There is a time and a place for digital files, and that's fine. Like, we're in a digital age where it's great to share with files with family who live really far away. Okay, that is totally fine. Or to post them on social media. That's great. But I've just noticed that transition in the upper class where they, when I've met with them, they're like, yeah, of course, like, we bought this and this and this. And they're showing me other photographers' products that they have in their home or something like that, that they've purchased from other photographers. And they would have never, ever, ever looked in my direction if I was a shoot and burn photographer. And that's not saying that when I was transitioning, they were looking at me, because they weren't. They didn't know I existed. But it's this part in the community where I've become like, oh yeah, you want wall art. Okay, well, yeah, Caitlin Roten does that. Not that I'm not that I'm the person, not saying that at all. People want the whole package, especially the elite. They just want to pay for it. They don't care.
I think of that, or consider that, like the CEO mentality. It's no, I don't want to do this stuff myself. I want to hire the right person for the job and have them do it for me. You know, it's a really good example of this was a friend of ours was telling us a story about how they wanted to get some new wood floors, and they had two people come in and give them a quote. The first person came in and said, okay, so what do you want? You know, and they're like,
I don't know.
I'm not really sure. What do you think we should get? Well, I mean, and then, you know, they got out the whole book of all the different stuff and just starts flipping through it. And they're like, I guess this one. And he's like, well, how much do you need? And they're like, we don't know how much we need. How much do we need? And it was, oh, okay, well, you know, and so guy came back with an offer or an estimate, and you know, it was, I don't know, $1,000 or whatever, right? Don't remember how much, but it was an investment, but not crazy. Second person comes in, doesn't really say anything, kind of like, hey, hold on, let me look around a little bit. And it kind of looks around and says, okay, cool. I think you should go with this exact floor. And it looks like you need about this much. Of course, I'll do all the measurements to make sure. But I think you probably need about this much. And I don't think I need to go away to give you an estimate. I think it's going to be, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 or something like that. It was significantly more than the other person. And of course they hired that guy, because he walked in and he was an expert. He said, this is what you need. Here's how much it's going to cost. You know, and it's a completely different mentality. And yes, there are absolutely people, if you're shooting and burning right now, you know, there are people who are the DIYers who say that they want the files. I guarantee most of them are not doing anything with those files, but yes, there are people out there. But guess what? The other side of that coin is that there are also the people out there that Caitlin deals with now every day. Those people who say, what do you mean? What do I want? Like, you're supposed to tell me.
Right.
I guess the other example is like when I go to get my hair cut, you know, if I go and they say like, well, what do you want done with it? Or, you know, I say, I just want it, you know, short on the top, shorter on the sides. Well, you know, what size guard do you want? I don't know. That's your job.
Like, right.
Just do your job, you know? So,
And I think that's a tricky part when you're transitioning, because you don't feel like the professional. There were certain times where people would ask my opinion or something like that. And I honestly, in my head, I fumbled. I'm like, I don't know. But if you use certain phrases, you can sound like you know it. Just fake it until you make it, okay? There's this confidence of saying like, oh, well, most of my clients order these standouts and they like them because they are really light and they hang up on the wall with 3M tape. And so they're really transferable. You totally made that up. Maybe most of your clients from last year did get the standouts. They don't need to know that most of your clients is two people. You just need to sound like the expert and need to really fake it until you can really say like, oh, in 2020, my most popular product was this 20 by 20 frame that incorporated 9 of your favorite photos from our photo session. Would you like to see that on my computer screen?
Yeah.
I do that all the time because that is my most popular product. But at the very beginning, you are going to fumble around and feel like you aren't the expert. Just put on your professional dress and just act like the expert. Like, you can just say things like, last year, my clients bought this. They don't need to know.
Well, you know, and I think the other side of that also is that even though you don't feel like the expert, I guarantee your client is not listening to this conversation right now.
Right.
You are more of an expert than they are.
Yes,
you definitely are. Just the fact that you're listening to this podcast tells me that you are more of an expert than your client is. So even if you don't say most of my clients, you know, bought this last year, but you say, I would recommend a standout because it's lightweight and it's this and it's that. You don't ever have to attach it to anything with you. You can say that thing with authority because Caitlin just told you that standouts are a great option for those people who want a lightweight product that can just be put up with 3M tape. And guess what? That 3M tape can be the Velcro kind, so you can move it later and take it off the wall without taking the paint off. So see, now you are an expert on why someone should get standouts if they really want to be able to move stuff around or need something lightweight. If they're afraid that, like, oh, if it falls off the wall, then it's gonna, you know, injure my baby.
Right.
You know, so like, I guess my point is, like, you are absolutely more of an expert than your client because you're listening to things like this. So even if you're not like, well, all of my clients, all two of them, you know, last year bought this, you could say, you know, Caitlin would highly recommend that you, no, I'm just kidding. Don't say that. but I would recommend this product for this situation. And if you feel like you don't know what you're talking about yet, number one, you probably know a lot more than you think. And number two, just keep listening to the podcast.
Yeah. You know? And once you start really investing in the product side of photography, there are so many resources. And so, you know, now I'm blogging. I'm not blogging like, oh, here are my favorite photos from my last photo session. Aren't they so sweet? You know, I don't blog like that anymore. I blog very different from the average photographer by giving more design tips, like, here is my photo session that I took, and I'm, you know, giving the SEO things that I need to do, but I'm also giving design things like, do you have a staircase that you need to design this for? Well, here are some pros and cons to this design and this design. And so each of my blog posts are incorporating the product side of it, but then I'm also, as I'm honestly researching, okay, what do I say about hanging a wall gallery over a staircase? Because I do not have a design background at all. I'm honestly researching this as I'm learning, like, oh, that client wants a gallery over the staircase. Well, okay, I've only done really one of those before, so I probably need to learn a little bit more. So as I'm doing research myself, I am becoming the experts on what I'm doing.
That is a really good point that, like, whoever's listening to this right now could turn this off when this is over and immediately write a blog post on top five reasons you might consider standouts for your home. And you know, and then come up with, you know, they're super light. You can hang them without worrying about them falling. You can use the 3M tabs. These are great for going over a crib if you're afraid of, you know, a giant framed print falling on your baby. You know, like, I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but I love that idea that, like, as you're learning this stuff, you just kind of turn around and educate your clients on it as well. And it gives you so much more blog content.
Right. And
that content serves the purpose of setting expectations. So I love that. I love that. I want to make sure that Caitlin approves. Have we walked somebody from shoot and burn over to print sales yet? Have I covered that?
I think we walked through how to transition. Well, actually, what not to do in transitioning clients. Like, just don't sell, show them and be like, oh, here's $1,200. You want to do this? I thought the transitioning clients that I had already photographed into in-person sales was really hard. So that was really hard for me. But that also was because I think I lacked in the training of it. But also at that point, they were expecting the digital files and they didn't really care. Yep. So I don't really have that successful of a story like transitioning those people over into IPS. And then we talked about just being clear about expectations. Oh, and in talking to referrals, that was good. To be honest, like, I still get people, especially in October and November, and then those like poor people in December that they're like, I need Christmas photos. They still call me and, you know, they ask, you know, well, how much do you charge? What does that entail? And I tell them and they're like, what? I remember this guy last year. I said, oh, and I walked him through the whole photo experience and I said, and I install it for you on your wall, like this pinnacle point in the photo experience. And he said, well, can you take some money off of the photo session? Like, cause I can install it.
He's like, I'm a handyman.
Right. And so obviously he like missed the whole point. I just do it for you. Like, no, I can't. That's not a monetary value. That's like free for you. So I still get people asking and calling, but it is so relieving to say, like, you know, I'm just trying to check if we're a good fit for each other. And, you know, maybe I could give you another photographer's contact information. And, yep. And that is so freeing to do that, because that's service to my business that I'm giving out some other photographer's business contact mm-hmm. information. But it's so freeing to think about previously when I was so wanting everybody in town to use me because I needed all of their $150 to actually make a living. So it's just so freeing now that I'd be like, you know, I really don't think that we're a really good fit, but I think you would really like this other photographer. And it's just so nice just to say that. And I'm not like disappointed, like, oh, I lost that person's business. Well, that person didn't really want my business. So
yeah. You know, it's funny. You don't know this, but I just recorded a conversation with a photographer of ours in Australia last night. So you haven't heard this. It's not anywhere. I haven't even edited it yet. And she said the same exact thing that you just said, is this idea of like how freeing it is to be able to tell a client, you know, I just don't think that we're going to be a good fit. And we kind of dug into this idea of like, it almost turns the tables where mm-hmm. you are now interviewing them rather than them trying to choose you. I just think it's so funny that that's now come up literally 2 days in a row, almost exactly 24 hours apart. It was this time yesterday that I had that conversation. Yeah. And it's not, it is absolutely not a snobby thing. In fact, it's mm-hmm. the opposite. Right. You are actually serving that person better by sending them to someone who will give them what they want. And everyone is happier for it, because you would not be happy with that at the end of the day. And they wouldn't right. be happy either, because they'd be like, it's how much? This is crazy. Great. Here's somebody else. And you're establishing goodwill in your network of other photographers.
Right.
Oh yeah. Caitlin's yeah, totally. The one who sends people over to us. Well, that's yeah. great. You know, and then everybody's like, oh, get to know Caitlin. Because, you know, if they just want files, she'll send people to you.
Right.
What's the number one piece of advice? Or let's put it this way. What is the first thing that a shoot and burn photographer should do this week if they're like, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yes.
I think I want to do this. I mean, other than sign up for the printmaker system.
Right, because I was really at a loss without it. I totally bombed without it. I think even more importantly than choosing your products and setting your prices, like that is, to me, that is like so boring. Maybe not choosing products, that's kind of exciting, but like setting prices is like so boring. More importantly, that is making your brand, which is kind of a silly word, making your photography just associated with wall art or albums or whatever you want to, it doesn't even matter at this point. Don't even think about albums or wall art or anything, but just put on your website or social media, not files. Put your file into a, what do you even call those? Like a mock-up?
A mock-up, yeah.
A mock-up in a frame on somebody else's wall, or take a picture of your wall with a frame and just make a Photoshop thing where you can put your own photography in it. Just yep. make people know that you are more than just files.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly it. Start setting that expectation for products, that this is what people come to you for. I think yes. that's absolutely right. It's also what I recommend. So that's probably why I think it's absolutely right.
I didn't even know that.
I'm like, you're saying exactly what I think. So sure, let's do that. At some point, I am going to challenge you on this. People won't come back every year if you do this process. I kind of want to use you as a new case study. Okay, I'm going to tell everybody listening right now. Caitlin and I are going to go behind the scenes for the next few months, and I'm going to start suggesting products that she can sell to return clients and ways that she can get new stuff in their hands without filling all of their walls and so that they do come back every year for a session, even if they're not getting wall art every session. And then we're going to, maybe about a year from now, we'll do a follow-up conversation, and she'll talk about how much more she's able to serve those yes. clients and how much more money she's making because she is getting repeat clients. So, all right. Hey, thank you. This was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so welcome. Anytime.
Hey,
thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Printmaker Podcast. If you'd like to dig deeper into the concepts and the processes we discuss on this podcast, I want to encourage you to go check out our free training over at theaeddframework.com. That's theaeddframework.com. In that free training, I'm going to walk you step by step through the same exact processes you hear my guests and I discuss every week for helping you create a more profitable photography business that serves both you and your clients. So head over to theaeddframework.com right now, and I will be back in your ears again this time next week.